simply about what I would call a life outside of Christ. A life outside of Christ. And I'm just, this is one of the, probably one of the better known chapters in the Word of God, other than perhaps John chapter 3. Most anybody you meet can tell you about John 3:16, and some may know a little more, but Luke 15 is another chapter that is known by God's people so well, because that is where the story of the prodigal son is found, and that's known even in the secular world, although they do not understand it as we do. But this morning, I simply want to read unto you the first seven verses of Luke 15, and we're going to talk about a life outside of Christ. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Can you imagine that, a sinner coming to church? Amen. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." What a beautiful, beautiful parable the Lord Jesus has shared here. Now, the occasion that we see here of Jesus giving these three parables was the fact that he ate with sinners. You read the previous chapter and other places in the Gospels, you'll find that when he was invited to people's houses to eat, he would go. And in Luke 14, he talks about a supper that's being made by the Lord. And whenever those that were invited don't show up, he goes out and says, "You invite all the blind and the maimed and the crippled and all of these to come unto my supper." And to the Pharisees, this was offensive. Remember that they thought that if you had some type of physical ailment, it was because you had done some great sin, and that God had thus turned against you. We still have that type of theology today. Do you know that? And it's absolutely untrue. Amen. And so, Jesus is giving these three parables on this occasion to try to teach them about the love and the grace of God and the care that God has for a lost sinner and his soul. Some people have called Luke chapter 15 God's lost and found department. Amen. For you know what? All these three stories are exactly about that. They're about something that was lost and something that was found. But these three stories have not only that in common, but I want you to look at it from this angle, because this is the angle from which I'm going to speak this morning. They talk, if you will, basically about some things that are out of place in life. In other words, they're not where they ought to be. Amen. And so that's why I call this message a life that's outside of Christ, because it is one that is disconnected or thus out of place with reference to a knowledge and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear friend, everything has a place in life. Amen. Amen. There are some things out here in life that ain't nothing wrong with doing, but it wouldn't be right bringing them in the house of God, because they'd be out of place. Amen. Because the house of God's different. It's a place of sacredness and a place of worship. Amen. Yes. And so we find here three things that are out of place. First of all, we found here in this first parable, there's a sheep that's out of place. It's not where it ought to be. It's not in the fold. And so it pictures for us, if you will, a life that's out of Christ because it has been distanced and is thus lost with reference to the shepherd, amen, that owns it. Then we find in the next parable a woman that searches for some lost silver. The shepherd seeks that lost sheep and he rescues it. The woman searches in her house for that lost silver and then she restores it, amen. Puts it back into circulation. And that pictures, dear friend, one whose life is out of circulation. It's not affecting its environment like it ought to, amen. It's lost its place. Then the final one, of course, he talks about the prodigal son, where a father suffers with his son. But then finally, at last, he receives him. Boy, I want to tell you something, dear friend. God puts up with a whole lot of out of us, amen. He put up with a whole lot out of me before he saved me. And I'm afraid God still sometimes has to suffer with me and put up with some things out of me. And that's a shame, amen. I know that. But God help us, praise the Lord. Whenever he finds us, when we return unto him, he receives us. And so, friend, everything has a place it ought to be. You see, that's one of the things that confounds the evolutionists of this world, the scientists of this world. Boy, I want to tell you, the universe is not in chaos. It is not in disorder, but it's in perfect balance and order. Matter of fact, it is mathematically perfect. And so many scientists believe in a God and a creator God, even though they don't become Christians, because of the perfection of the universe. You know what they're saying is, when you look out here with the Hubble telescope and every power that we have to look as far as we can, we find everything is in its place. Everything is in its place. Now, dear friend, when something gets out of its place, when it gets outside of its point of reference to where it ought to be, then we have disorder, don't we? And we have distance. And, of course, problems will always be the result. So it is with one who is outside of Christ. Now, the Bible speaks about the people of God and people in general as sheep. Now, that's one of the great things about the Bible. Jesus was the greatest preacher that ever was, obviously, amen. He could take everyday common circumstances, situations, and occasions, and he could teach a heavenly truth from those things. He did that with Nicodemus when he came, when he talked to him about being born again, amen. And he talked about the Spirit with reference to the wind blowing, and you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects that it has. And he was just the greatest teacher that there ever was, because he could just bring things right in the line where we could understand them. And so the Bible takes something that certainly a Jew was familiar with, because there were many of them shepherds, amen, could understand the heavenly message that he had for them. So first thing I want you to see here is what I call the desperate condition of the sheep. The desperate condition of the sheep. Here we find a sheep that is lost. It is out of position. It is out of place. It is not where it ought to be. Amen. Now, as I told you before, the Bible refers to us as sheep. We are not only his who have been saved, but friend, the whole world of humanity is God's by the authority and right of creation, because there's nobody alive that he didn't create who's not a descendant of Adam, the first man that he created, amen. And so Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray," amen. "We've turned everyone unto his own way." Now you see, that's what happened with this sheep that caused it to get in its desperate situation, amen. It didn't go the way that it should have went. It didn't go the way that the shepherd had intended for it to go, but it went its own way. Brothers and sisters, whenever man goes in his own way, whenever God's people decide to go their own way and follow it, you can look for trouble, you can look for disaster and the destruction to naturally follow. The theme of the book of Judges that we studied on Wednesday night was simply this. The Bible said several times in there, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." What was he saying there? That my friend, the people of God who once knew God, that knew his ways and had a relationship with him, decided that they knew better than God did, and they went and did what they did rather than what God wanted them to do. And the natural result, my friend, was defeat and disaster in their lives, because they got out of place and they got outside of that relationship that God had intended for them to have. Psalm 100 verse 3, the writer says, "We are his sheep, his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Peter, playing on that, he said this, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So the Jew very well understood the relationship of a sheep unto its shepherd. And so the natural message here is that a sheep without a shepherd is what? He's lost. He's lost. And the reason for that very plainly is not that the shepherd has deserted the sheep, but that the sheep has decided to go its own way. Now consider for just a moment the nature of a sheep. I don't know if you've had much to do with sheep. I've never had one, but I'm familiar with some things about them. Number one, the nature of a sheep is to be a wanderer. They really have no sense of direction, and so obviously the result is they get lost easily. They get lost easily. They're wanderers. I read an article one year. I have a book about a pastor as a shepherd. And it talks some there about the sheep. And it says that if a sheep gets over a hill, a horizon, where it cannot see the rest of the flock, or if it cannot see its home, then it can't even find its way back to that flock. They are wanderers, and whenever they get lost, friend, they are utterly lost. And there's only two things that will bring him back. Dear friend, that's either the presence of the shepherd or the voice of the shepherd. If that shepherd can just get close enough to cry out to that sheep and he can recognize that voice and the direction, amen, then he can go to that shepherd, amen. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," in John chapter number 10. The nature of a sheep is to wander. Now, I don't think that it is any accident that Jesus referred to his people as sheep, refers to us that way, because we have that same propensity, amen. I want to tell you, God's people, saved people, if they are not careful, become a wandering people. They go here and there, and they don't have any direction in life. Friend, if anybody ought to know where they're going, if anybody ought to have direction in life, it ought to be the people of God. And we ought not be wanderers, amen. We ought not wander off from God and get out of fellowship with him, and we certainly should not wander off from one another, because we need one another. Sheep are wanderers. But not only that, sheep are weak. They don't have any means of defense. They don't have any sharp claws. They don't have any sharp teeth. They have old, dull, flat-looking teeth for chomping grass. Roots, they'll pull the grass right out of the ground by the root, and they'll chew on that grass. But boy, if they bite somebody with them teeth, it's just a dull thud and a pressure. It can't do anything with the wolf. It can't do anything with a bear. It can't do anything with a lion. And so we remember the stories of David and how that he protected the sheep back there. Why? Because, my friend, sheep are not only wanderers, but they are weak. They have no means of defense. Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out, he said, "Be wise as serpents, but be as harmless as doves." And he told his people, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Why? Because, my friend, I want to tell you something. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how big you are, how self-sufficient you think you are. I want to tell you something. Every man, one boy, and a girl needs God. But I want to tell you, sometime in your life, in your experience, and if you're saved, that's true. And if you're not saved, friend, that is true. There's going to come a circumstance in your life that you're not going to be able to deal with. That you're going to need something stronger than yourself, amen. That's the absolute truth. You just get around the biggest heathen you know. You let calamity hit his life. You let a death come suddenly right before him. And the first thing you'll hear him say is, "Oh, God, where'd that come from?" That come from that desperate situation of realizing that, friend, some things are bigger than us that we can't face in life without him. Oh, dear friend, I won't tell you, the Bible says that we go forth into this world, into a place that's full of ravening wolves and false prophets. And, dear friend, we're going to have tribulation in this world, and things are going to happen to you, dear friend, that are not going to be enjoyable if you're going to live for God. And the only way you're going to be successful is to stay close to him where you ought to be. He said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen. Makes a difference where you are. Amen. Praise God. So we see the nature of a sheep, that they're wanderers and they're weak. But then obviously the opposite side of that coin would be what? The need of the sheep. The need of the sheep. They need somebody to guide them. And they need somebody to guard them. Now, who was that in this parable? You know who it was? It was the shepherd. The shepherd. Now, today, people are following all types of sheep. Matter of fact, I read an article on sheep that wherever a shepherd took his sheep regularly, you could find that flock over the hills, because you would find literally ruts. Ruts. Many of you know about logging roads. Some of you may live down little two-rut roads. You would find ruts where these sheep would walk. And here's the reason why. When a sheep would head in the direction after the shepherd, the others, seeing that, they were paying attention, would fall right in line behind that other sheep. And they would go. And they would literally make these two ruts right over the horizon, the hills, and everywhere that they went, so that you could follow those things. Why? Because sheep are prone to follow other sheep. Well, now, dear friend, I want to tell you, people are following a lot of different sheep in this world in which we live today. Some are following sheep of education. We think that education is the answer to everything in this world today. Ain't that right? Whenever the problem of AIDS comes up, we say, well, we need more education in our schools, and the AIDS problem rises. Sexually transmitted diseases rises. And I want to tell you why, man. Education is not the answer, because it cannot change a man's heart. It changes a man's heart, and my friend, you change everything. Some people follow the sheep of knowledge. You know what makes the so-called atheist say the things he says? He thinks he knows more than God. That's it. All he really is not an atheist, he's an egotist. That's what he is. And the basis of his walk and his talk, dear friend, is simply what he knows. And he's got no place for God in his life. Amen. Some people are following the sheep of knowledge, and some are following the sheep of religion. Jesus in Matthew 7 said, beware of false prophets, they'll come in you in sheep's clothing, but they're ravening wolves. You know what he's saying? Some people follow so-called sheep off in religious paths that don't lead to God, but Jesus said they lead away from God. Huh? And so some people following the sheep of religion believe that, dear friend, they can just go to church or they can do religious activities and they'll be all right to go to heaven because I did this and I did that. I went through this religious activity. Friend, that's just another sheep that you're following off. It may not be following the shepherd. Amen? Amen. And so we need to know where we're going. Let me ask you this. Do you know you're going to heaven today? You say, yes, I know I'm going to heaven. Then the next question would be what? Why do you know that? You see, you ask people today for a reason for where they're going and why they're going to be able to get there. You're not going to get very many sound answers when it comes to the things of God and eternity. Amen? That's right. And so, what they have, rather than bringing them toward God, takes them further away from God. And rather than being where man really ought to be, which is next to his Creator and his Savior, he finds himself out here through these things that really don't amount to anything. There was a Christian man that worked with another man I read about one time. They went to a boxing match together. And he noticed that one of the boxers, before the first round began, turned to his corner and he did the sign of the cross in the corner, and then he went out to fight. And the lost man, knowing this man was a Christian, he said, what's that going to do for him? And the Christian said, it ain't going to do nothing for him if you don't know how to box. Huh? You see, dear friend, a lot of times we go through religious motions that really ain't going to amount to a hill of beans and do us a whole lot. Amen? You know why? Because we just might be following one of those sheep that are leading in the wrong direction. Huh? And so, listen. Peter said this, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. Here's what he said. Here's what he meant by that. If somebody comes up to you and says, what makes you think you're going to heaven, Mr. Christian? Tell me how you know you're going and what makes you think that they're going to let you in when you get there. He said, you be ready to do that. Now, if somebody come to you today and said, you're a Christian? Yes. You think you're going to heaven? Yes. And say, well, now, what makes you think that? Could you give a reason? Peter said, you need to be ready to do that. Man died, went to the pearly gates. There was Simon Peter. Just a story, this ain't reality, you know. Just an illustration. And Peter looked at him and said, well, what have you done? Or what makes you think that you can come into heaven in this place? What have you ever done? Give me a reason why you think you should be able to get in here. And he said, well, one time I helped a crippled lady who was being robbed by some thugs. And Peter said, oh yeah, when did that happen? He said, I think about 2 minutes ago. That's why he was where he was. You see, some people wait to the last minute to try to come up with some reason. Some reasoning about eternity. Because, friend, whenever I was 20 years old, I didn't think much about the graveyard. Matter of fact, I didn't know a whole lot of dead folk. Huh? I want to tell you, the older I got and the closer I come to those gates myself, I begin to consider these things. And you know what? Whether or not I'm lost or whether or not I'm found becomes a little bit more important. And whether or not I'm inside Christ or whether I'm outside Christ becomes ever more important unto me. Amen. So we find here that Jesus said that these sheep are in a desperate condition. Why? Because they are lost. They're out of place. They are distanced from the shepherd. But now what's going to make the difference? The sheep is weak. The sheep's a wanderer. He's defenseless. What makes a difference is the divine compassion of the shepherd. The divine compassion that the shepherd has. Now, of course, the shepherd is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that the scribes and Pharisees are attacking here. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, who wrote that? A young man named David. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Did he know anything about shepherding? Yes, indeed, he knew about shepherding. Just what we're talking about here this morning. Amen. The Bible says in John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says that he is the great shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, he's referred to as the chief shepherd. Amen. Now, there may be a lot of shepherds in the world. There may be a lot of good shepherds in the world. There may be a lot of great shepherds in the world, but there's only one chief shepherd. Amen. What does that mean? That, dear friend, he is the preeminent one, that he is number one, that he is the best that there ever was and the best that there is. Praise God. The shepherd had divine compassion upon the lost sheep. So, what did that cause him to do? First, it causes the shepherd to leave the flock. Said he'll leave those 99 there in the wilderness that he's got inside the fold and the fence of stone that's around them, and he'll go looking for that one little sheep. Why? Why? I mean, you know, you ever heard the old expression, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush? If you've got 99, you have 99 pennies and you drop one, it rolls under something, it's going to be difficult to get out. You're just going to leave it, aren't you? Why would he go after one when he already had 99 in the fold? See, friend, we have to come to understand why he would do this. It didn't have to do with the value of the sheep so much, but it had to do with the heart of the shepherd. It had to do with the heart of the shepherd. It was the value that he placed upon it because he loved it. David sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan came and knocked on his door one day. And you know what he talked about? He talked about a man had a whole lot of sheep, had company, and he was going to fix some sheep to eat some mutton. Rather than cooking one of his plenty, he went and got one man's little lamb. And you know what the Bible said about this man and his relationship with that lamb? He loved it. That was his pet. That's the relationship and the attitude that the shepherd has toward that one is lost. Friend, understand this. That sheep may have wandered off before. He may wander off again. What is it about that sheep that'll cause that shepherd to go after him? Dear friend, it's the love that that shepherd has for that little lost sheep that he has come to know and have a relationship with. And now it's lost. It's in trouble. He leaves the flock that's secure and he goes to get it. I want to tell you something, dear friend. I want to tell you what this Bible says. It says that whenever the devil sinned, Lucifer sinned, God made no provision for him to be saved. Matter of fact, Matthew 25 says that the lake of fire, hell, was not created for man, but it was created for the devil and his angels. Why didn't God say, well, now whenever Lucifer sins, I'm going to save him. I'll make a way for him to be saved. When he gets lost, I'll go find him. I want to tell you there's one thing of value that's on my life and on your life. And here it is. Don't you ever forget it. We were created in the image of Almighty God.
Don't you ever think God ever allowed His image to be marred.
Mm-mm. And so, you know, the Bible says that's why murder's wrong. Read it. Book of Genesis, after the flood, when Noah came out. Huh? Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Capital punishment. And he tells you why. Because man's created in the image of God. Lucifer wasn't created in the image of God. Friend, the only good thing about me, dear friend, is what God has put upon me in His image. Huh? And so you know what? When I was lost in this world, when I was a lost sheep, I was a wandering, and I was in weakness and sin. The shepherd of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, left the church house. Matter of fact, we can go further than that. The Bible says He left glory. Philippians chapter 2. He took upon Him the form of a servant, the Bible says. The Bible said He was born of a woman made under the law in the book of Galatians chapter 2. Why? My friend, He came from there looking for a lost soul. I want to ask you, who was it that came looking for Adam when he sinned in the garden? Adam didn't go and throw himself on the mercy of the Lord, but instead, hiding in fear because he knew he'd sinned, the Lord came looking for him. Why did He do that? Because God loved him even though he'd sinned. You know, the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish. We're all sinners. We're headed for hell. Unless, my friend, the Lord finds us and saves us. People don't say, well, you know what? I think I'm going to go to church Sunday. I'm going to straighten my life out. I'm going to do right, and then I'm going to heaven. It don't happen that way. They'll get frustrated. They'll get derailed, and they won't stick. Why? Because they didn't get saved. Because, dear friend, they were looking for a shepherd. The shepherd weren't looking for them. Amen? Oh, but some point in life, you understand me this morning, some point in life, the great shepherd of our souls, the Lord Jesus, come looking for us. And boy, He found this lost sheep that wandered away from God, got tied up with everything in this world. Boy, everything in this world looked great. It became the epitome of my desire and my involvement. I was blind and I was lost. One day, He found me. I wasn't looking for Him. And dear friend, He knocked upon the door of my heart. And He said, "You're out of place. You're out of place. I created you. I died for you. You need to be with me. I've come to take you home." All the divine compassion of the shepherd on the lost sheep. He leaves the flock and He goes looking in the field. Now, you know, the Bible says in Matthew 13, Jesus said the field is this world. He left glory, as I said. He came down to this world. And He didn't go to Mars. He didn't go to Phoenix. Ain't nobody there. We're here. Boy, He went looking for His people. Let me ask you this. How long has Jesus been tracking you? Listen, the Lord will come to every individual. In their circumstance, at some point in life, dear friend, I want you to know that the human person and the divine person will cross paths one day. Mine was April 14, 1972. That's where we met. He headed me off at the pass in order to find me, in order to save me. Out here in this world. Boy, you know why we sing Amazing Grace? I'm amazed to this day how I ever got saved. And God help us if we ever lose that amazement. The little old sheep didn't. He didn't realize he was lost. You know what he's a following? He's a following that grass and munching and going on and going on. He don't know that just the other side of that little thicket over there is a wolf. He don't realize the shepherd's out of looking for him, amen, till he comes over the horizon. Sounds His voice where He can see. Oh, praise God. Oh, listen, dear friends. He loves His sheep. He looks for His sheep. And then He lifts His sheep. Look what it said here. What did He do when He found Him? The Bible says He picked Him up and put Him where? On His shoulders. Can that thing not walk? Well, sure it can walk. But now this sheep's already got a problem with what? Leadership. So whenever there's a problem with leadership, you know what he does? He lifts us up and he puts us upon his shoulders. Now that's important. The shepherd would reach down, he would grab the two front legs and he would grab the two hind legs and he would throw that sheep over his head and he'd put it on his shoulder and he'd tote that sheep all the way back to the fold and to safety. Boy, that's something. You know what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6? For unto us
A child is born, and unto us a son is given. Listen, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. One, not two. Dear friend, God don't need two shoulders to take over this world. He doesn't need one, that's all. It's sufficient. Amen. Oh, listen, dear friend. When he finds us, he lifts us because we don't have any power to lift ourselves. And dear friend, that's what makes a difference in our lives. And there ain't a wolf around, dear friend, that'll try to get that sheep when he's on the shoulders of that precious shepherd. Amen. All the divine compassion of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, that found us in sin, found us in our lost condition, and lifted us up, and carried us back to his place, amen, and made a new creature out of us, and gave us a new outlook on things. Praise God. I'm glad as we sing the old song, he lifted me. And so we see here in this life outside Christ the desperate condition of the sheep and the divine compassion of the shepherd. But then something else interesting Jesus talked about. The delightful celebration that is salvation. What did he say he did whenever he got this sheep? He said he went to the house. That's what he said. When he comes home. Now he's had the sheep out obviously in the field. Why? Well, to eat, to feed. When he comes back home, guess what? The Bible says that he calls together his friends and his neighbors, and he said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Now, here's the key word there. Found. The key word is found. When he gets back together, back home, he gets all of his friends and relatives together, and they begin to rejoice over this lost sheep there. Oh, dear friend, why? Because the sheep had been rescued from his fate. What was his fate if the shepherd had not found him? First of all, he rescued him from danger, those wolves on the other side of the thicket that we were talking about. He rescued him from his disuse. He was out of place. Therefore, he was of no good and to the rest of the flock or of no value to the shepherd being out of his proper place. Amen. But then finally, he obviously was rescued from death because ultimately, he would have been killed by a lion, a bear, or a wolf. Now listen, dear friend. When you're out of your place, when you're outside of Christ as a child of God, when you're outside of Christ and you're not saved, I want you to understand something. You're in a place of danger. You're in a place of disuse. And you're in a place that may result in death. And that's why it's important that the shepherd finds you. And that's why when he found that sheep, he was happy as he could be. Carried it back home, called everybody together and said, "Tell you what, let's just have a celebration." Now, what was Jesus trying to teach? Well, he told us right there. He said, "This is something that you understand because you understand shepherds." He said, "I want you to understand. Now, you Pharisees and scribes, you've criticized me because I've ate with sinners. Because I've invited sinners. I love sinners. Not sin. Don't ever get mistaken in that." But he said, "I want you to understand something. There is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. It is over 99 people who don't need to be saved." Now, they've already been rejoiced over. Amen. But guess what? Here's a new one. The prodigal son. The father had another son already at the house, and he kind of got upset because there weren't no rejoicing over him. He never had been lost like this other one had been. Amen. And so he's trying to get them to see, dear friend, the care and the love that the shepherd, the Lord has for his people and for sinners who are lost and undone in this world. Dear friend, the sheep was rescued from his fate, and the sheep would be restored to the flock. Now let me tell you what happened when sin entered this world, whenever Adam sinned. My friend, everything that originally belonged to God became lost, and it became out of place. The Bible says that whenever Adam sinned, the Bible says in the last verse of chapter 3, "So the Lord God drove the man out of the garden." The place God intended him to be, a place of fellowship, a place of perfection, through his sin, he'd lost. That's what man lost. But look what God lost. He lost the man that he created from the dust of the ground in his own image. God lost that. Gone, out of fellowship, out of place, out of the Garden of Eden, he prepared for him. There's only one way to get him back. Since man couldn't come into the garden, God had to leave the garden and go out and get the man. That's just what he did. Everything that God lost. Jesus said this, Matthew 18, Son of Man's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Amen. And so this sheep was returned to the flock. And friend, when you and I get saved, God puts us back in touch with the flock of God, the people of God, and puts us back in that place inside Christ, dear friend, that the Bible talks about, of fellowship, of reunion, and rejoicing in the goodness of our divine shepherd, our Savior, and our God. Oh, dear friend, when he's saved and born again, he becomes a part of the family of God. You know what the Bible says? Certainly it does. That's what it talks about when it talks about being born again, being put back into the family of God that once was lost, that Jesus came to save. Let me ask you this. Is your life heading in the wrong direction, like a sheep that's lost and wandering and weak? Where are you headed? What is the object of your life? I want to tell you something. The shepherd's looking for us. Now, I'm just going to say two things and I'll quit. If you're lost today, if you've never been saved, Jesus is looking for you. He's tracking you down. He's going to catch up with you. And when he does, dear friend, here's what he's going to do. He's going to say, you're lost. You're lost, but I found you. Now's the opportunity you can go home with me. At that point in time, dear friend, simply by faith, you put your trust in that shepherd and you say, okay, Lord, I'll go. Friend, that's how you get to heaven. You get invited. And then you accept the invitation. And when the time comes, you show up. And God will tell you when that is. Amen. Now, if you're saved, I want to tell you, you can get out of place also. You can get somewhere that's outside of Christ. I'm talking about a relationship with Him. You can be in the wrong place, dear friend, that God would not have you to be. My friend, he needs to find you. He's going to hunt you down because you're his in order he might bring you back. Where? To the fold. Back to the fold and put you in there. Amen. I want to tell you something. I believe in the eternal security of a child of God when he gets saved. I believe, dear friend, that there's not a sin that you can name today that it's not possible for me to be and get involved in if I don't watch my place and where I ought to be. Amen. I want to tell you something. If I get out here in this world, you let me start going to the honky-tonks. You let me start going to casinos. You let me start going to nightclubs. Let me go start getting involved with the things of this world and get hooked up with them. I want to tell you something. You soon won't see Donnie Murphy in church. Because, my friend, I got lost out there amongst the clutter and the clamor of this world. But now, since I'm his sheep, I want to tell you what a shepherd does. He leaves those 99. He comes where I am. And he knocks on the door of my heart. And he says, just as he did to Adam, where art thou? And you know what the saved person does when that happens, when that voice speaks to his heart? Now, I know I'm not talking about hearing an audible voice, but you it's just as loud, believe me, in your heart. You know what you say? I ain't got no business here. God help me. God help me. And that is your own help. Amen. God help us, dear friend, to be saved today, to know that we're saved. And God help us, dear friend, when we get out of our place, to listen to the voice of the shepherd when he cries out for us. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. When we hear his voice, to say, Lord, here am I. Here I am. Come get me. Come get me. You know what? He'll do it. He'll do. He'll take us upon his shoulders and he'll carry us home. Boy, listen to me, dear friend. One of these days, the Bible says this heaven's going to roll up as a scroll. One of these days, the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, friend, listen, I can't fly. Oh, dear friend, I can't survive without air. I can't lift myself at all. But one of these days, my great shepherd's going to come, take us upon his shoulder, and he's going to take us to his home. When he does, it's going to be a celebration like ain't never been before. The Bible talks about it. Are you saved today? If you are, have you gotten out of place? I want to tell you now is the time to get back. Because if I believe the Bible, I believe that He's spoken to you this morning. I want to give you opportunity to do just whatever you need to do this morning. Just bow your heads. I'm going to pray.